So when I first agreed to do this, and Pastor Tom was like, if you could just send me a picture of yourself. And I was like, wow, I really don't have any normal pictures of myself. And I don't know where he dug this one up. I don't remember this ever. This is probably taken without my permission. I don't know. Yeah, yeah. He probably had to zoom in on a very little one. This was the one that I sent, and I think it just kind of... Yeah, that's about as normal as it gets on my Facebook wall. This is my girlfriend. I'm just kidding. I met her in Thailand. They have super long tongues, by the way. There's another one where she's... Well, I have a piece of, like, food in my mouth. So the giraffe's tongue is probably about like this. And so... We'll save that for another time. That's neither here or there. But it most likely did. Anyway, this hopefully gives you a glimpse of... Kind of maybe captures my personality in a picture. I don't have time to get into it because but I'd really like to, if you guys want to know more about me, where I grew up, how I grew up. I've had the privilege of growing up in many different countries, different cultures, and the good things and the bad things that come along with that. I'm really grateful for the experiences, and it's kind of shaped me into this person that kisses giraffes. But that's normal for me, I guess. I don't think too much about it. But one of the things, as I was thinking about, you know, what to speak on, I really came and asked Pastor Tom, I asked Dan and Anita, I asked Nick, like, what is it that you guys want to hear about? What would benefit you? Because I didn't want to come and just give you some stuff, and you're like, oh, that's good, but it doesn't really help me now, right? And so some of the things that I heard was Dan and Anita and Nick really want you guys to hear some stories, but also learn about how you guys can be proactive, how you guys can be using the things that God's given you, the gifts that God's given you, how to use that right here, right now, in your daily life. And so when we were thinking about that, me and Pastor Tom were talking, and as I said, you know, I know it's the missions weekend, but what about the idea of evangelism? Because evangelism really is at the heart of what we're talking about when we're talking about missions. And you guys, how many of you guys feel like you're ready to go on a mission trip, like, right here, right now? Right? That's great. I love it. How many of you guys are thinking, oh, I could do this, like, long term, live overseas for years? That's great. Good to see that. How many of you guys feel like, I'm just going to have to take a while. I don't have any money. I don't even own a driver's license. I probably don't even have a passport. I can't even get out of the country. How am I supposed to do any of these things? Right? So, but the point I'm trying to make is you guys can still be involved in missions and evangelism right here in Colombia. And so hopefully tonight and tomorrow, what we'll talk about is how we can help you guys see the importance of evangelism, how it kind of connects with missions, and then some practical ways you guys can use these skills here in Colombia. And so, so there are several reasons why we kind of chose this. Number one, like I said, it has to do with the fact that missions and evangelism goes hand in hand, right? And I really understood that when I went on a mission trip with a group here. I'm sure you were there, to Biloxi, Mississippi. And if you guys don't know, that's when Hurricane Katrina came through and basically tore down the entire city. And it was like crazy, crazy. It was so weird. You're just driving down these streets that are just like torn apart. Nobody's there in this entire town. He's like, is this like a ghost town or something? And then why are we coming here? And so, but I remember going on that mission trip, and I remember there were hundreds of us that were there, and we were working on this one street of just, I don't know how many homes. And each home had a team that was working on the house. And we had different roles. We were, you know, painting or doing fiberglass or sheetrock or shingles or anything like that. So we all had assigned tasks. But one of the things that I thought was really weird was that here were hundreds of people, Christians, on the street working on the homes, but I didn't see a single person talking with the homeowners. Because, you know, you walk in and you see the water line. You guys know what a water line is? Like how far the flood raised?
It's a line that has water
in it. Not quite. It shows you how high the flood went. Right? And so these water lines were almost all the way up to the ceiling. And so... Sorry? No. These were in the homes. And so it was pretty crazy because these people were... A lot of people, they knew a lot of people who died in this flooding, those who couldn't make it onto the roofs. And so they're going through a lot, right? They lost their homes, and where they're doing good stuff. They're doing good works. But in my heart, I had the sensation that we should do more, right? It's not enough just to do good works and build the homes, because how is that different from what Habitat for Humanity does, for example, right? Our goal should be to share the gospel, share the love of Jesus Christ, the hope of salvation with them. And so I felt very convicted to talk to them. And I'm a pretty shy person, so I'm just like, I don't know if I should do this. And the other thing is, I had responsibilities. So I was like, if I go talk to them, are other people going to think that I'm, you know, just being lazy, not doing work? But I couldn't shake the feeling, so I went and I talked with them and just really spent time with them, hearing their story, seeing what they're going through, and then offering to pray for them, having opportunities to just bring God into the conversation. And I was left with this feeling that on mission trips, we're so caught up in doing tasks, especially short-term mission trips, accomplishing tasks, whether it's building a home or executing a VBS or feeding the homeless, right? Something like that, that we can almost forgets the most important thing, which is to share the gospel. And so this is why I think this idea of evangelism is very important, because if we learn to do this here in our homes with people we know, people we surround ourselves with, our friends and our neighbors, then it becomes second nature when we go onto mission trips. Right? That's one reason why I kind of wanted to talk about this. Another reason is... to, again, give you guys a passion and possibly some tools to do this here in Colombia. I was talking to Pastor Tom, and he said, you know, the great thing about Colombia is, like a lot of different parts of America, God is bringing the world to us. So we don't have to go on, you know, 500 miles overseas to a foreign country anymore and learn a new language. God's bringing people here, into your neighborhoods, into your schools. So you can share the gospel with them. But how do you do it, right? And finally, I wanted to just give you guys some practical tools that you guys can work with so that after this retreat, you can be like, okay, so I know evangelism is important. I know God wants me to do it. And now I kind of know how to start. We don't have a lot of time. We have tonight, tomorrow night, and pretty much, I said, Sunday's different animal. So in 30-minute sessions, how much can I get done? But hopefully you guys can take this as a beginning step and kind of follow up with it, okay? And so the basic format for tonight and tomorrow night and Sunday will be as follows. Tonight we're just really going to talk about the perspective of God. What does God care about, okay? Is missions important to him? Is evangelism important to him? And if it is, then what is our response? What should our response be? And then not only what should our response be, but what is it actually right now? Okay. Tomorrow night we'll talk about more practical things like, all right, now that we know what we know, how do we do it? Okay. Because evangelism is a scary thing. It's a very scary thing. And I'm right there with you guys. But how can we do it? How can we make it so that it's not so scary? And so hopefully I'll show you guys some stuff that will make you guys like, calm some of your nerves and calm some of your fears, because it's actually not as bad as you may think, all right? And finally, on Sunday, the sermon will be about the fact that we love because God first loved us. And I just want to bring it full circle to say God has commanded us to do this, but he first gave us an example. He doesn't do something and doesn't do it himself, right? He believes in it so much that he did it himself, and now he's asking us to follow in his footsteps. So that's kind of be the format tonight, okay? So as I start, how many of you guys think evangelism is important? Do you guys know what I'm talking about when I say evangelism? Sharing the good news to other people, bringing them from the kingdom of this world into the kingdom of God, introducing them. How many of you guys think it's important? Show of hands. All right. That's very good. Those of you who don't think it's important, that's okay. We'll work on it. How many of you guys are actively doing it? Okay. So that's the problem, right? Is that we all agree it's important, but we don't do it, okay? And the Bible does make it very clear that it is important. Can you hit the next slide? Okay, so Romans 10, 14 through 15 says, "How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one in whom they have not heard? How can they hear without someone preaching to them? How can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news." Okay? And this is Paul speaking here. And in the previous verse, he says, in verse 13, "Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Okay? So that's his statement. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And then he says, but how can this be? Because not everybody's heard. Not everybody even knows what to believe in. And if there's nobody that's being sent, how will anyone speak it to them? So this is the dilemma, right? This is the tension that exists for us Christians. We are called, we're given a mandate, we're given a mission by the Lord to take the gospel to everybody, and yet we don't want to do it. It's something that's very scary. Okay, a few other things. You guys all know Matthew 28. 18 through 20? What is that about? What would you say it's most famous for? Great Commission. Okay, good. So when you guys think about missions and evangelism, is that maybe one of the first verses that comes to mind? Possibly? Okay. But did you know that the book of Matthew isn't the only book that gives a commission? In fact, every single gospel and also the book of Acts also gives a great commission to us. And so I just kind of wanted you guys to see this real quick, moving on. Go ahead. All right, so in Matthew 28, 18 through 20, Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." In Mark, book of Mark 16, 15 through 16, he said to them, "Go into all the world, preach the gospel to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned." Next, Luke 24, 46 through 47, he told them this is what was written: "The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sin will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem." And in John 20, 21, again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And finally, in Acts, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Okay? Now, real quick, pop quiz. Does anybody know that word witness? What does it mean? What's the root word of that? You no. Good try, though. What is the word witness? My witnesses. Okay, so that's what witness means. But the actual root word here is from a Greek, martus, from which you get the word martyr. So what's Jesus saying here? You'll be my martyrs in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and all the ends of the earth. You read it that way. Now, that kind of changes what Jesus is maybe telling his disciples here, right? Not only should you be ready to tell, you should be ready to live and to die for this. Now, that kind of changes, like, our responsibilities. We're like, oh man, I just felt that burden even more. Am I really ready to die for this. Something to keep in mind. Okay? A few other verses, just to show you the importance of evangelism in the eyes of God. Next page. Galatians 4:4. For sake of time, I'll let you guys read it. Matthew 20:28. Keep going. Luke 19:10. Mark 1:15. Keep going. Yep. Keep going. Okay, so what we see here is that it's pretty evident that evangelism, the heart of the gospel, is very important to our God, right? So much so that He asks us to be ready to die in the process of sharing this. And this was a reality for the people of those days, right? Not so much for us now here in America, but in those times, you stood for your faith. It could cost you your life. And for a lot of believers nowadays, that's still the same. That still holds true. Okay? So where are we at in terms of our level of commitment? Okay? So this is God's heart. This is something that God's been preparing for ever since the fall. God created Adam and Eve in a perfect world. He made a beautiful home for them. And because of sin, they were kicked out of that home. And the rest of the Bible is God really preparing the way for us to enter into a new home. Right? And so, in the beginning we fell, but in the end God will restore everything. And this is God's heart. This is what's in the Bible, right? And so, what is our role in this whole business of evangelism? So, let's actually talk about right now how we're doing in terms of evangelism. Okay, so it can be said that the church in the Western world is not doing so hot. When was the last time, you know, you invited somebody to come to church? Right, and even in the churches that we see, like in Atlanta, there's a lot of churches. And some churches will just hit growth spurts. Like, they just grow like crazy. Like, Passion City is just growing right now like crazy. But the question you have to ask yourself is not so much are they growing in number, but are they growing from people who are being converted to Christ, right? There's a difference between your numbers are swelling because they're coming from other churches versus non-Christians, people who did not know the Lord, now come to know Christ and are growing in your church. And so you, even though a church may be growing, the kingdom of God is not growing. We're just shifting pieces around. And that's a problem. Because a lot of times people feel like, my church is doing so well. Or my church is doing so poorly because I'm losing members. But in the grander scheme of things, how is the kingdom of God doing? And research will show us we're not doing so good. Okay, and so there was a church in Atlanta that did a survey. They have several thousand members, so they asked their members, when it comes to this idea, this topic of evangelism, what do you guys think? Okay, and so these were some of the answers, or these were some of the data that they collected. Okay, first one, everybody has an opinion about evangelism, but very few people truly understand what it is. Okay, you ask somebody, what is it? Do you believe in it? Yeah. Can you explain it? No. Can you share the gospel? Probably not. Right? So everybody knows something, but what is it that they know? Everybody is aware of their responsibility to share their faith, but in reality, almost no one is doing it. This was what they found out in their church. Next. Everybody desires to see lost neighbors, friends, and relatives become Christians, but few ever talk about these acquaintances, about their spiritual lives. Right? So, they keep their spiritual life and their non-spiritual life very distinct and separate. If they know you're a Christian, they'll talk to you in Christian jargon. But if you're not a Christian, chances are you may never hear about God from them. That's a problem. Next. Most Christians are deeply grieved by the sinful choices of those around them, but few feel adequate to effectively share their faith with these very people who are beaten down by the sinful choices they are making. And this talks about lack of training, lack of understanding, which is very prevalent in a lot of our churches today, right? Most believers are truly burdened for the lost in their lives, but deep down inside are resistant to being equipped and trained in how to reach them. So it kind of goes hand in hand, right? You're like, I really want to tell you what to do. I don't have the information, but I'm also not willing to go learn, right? And so in this particular church, they do offer classes on evangelism and stuff like that. And when that happens, in a church of several thousand, maybe 10 people will show up. What's that like? I'm not good at math, but like less than 10%, right? I'm pretty safe to say that, right? So not a lot of people show up, okay? Many believers will pray all night for revival, but fail to see the connection between revival and personal evangelism. So they pray for God to do a great and mighty work, but they don't see that perhaps God wants to use them. Okay? Next. Many Christians will ask God for boldness to share their faith and then shy away from open doors that God places before them to make the gospel clear. I am definitely, you know, victim of this because I don't like confrontation. I'm actually an introvert. You guys don't believe this, but I'm an introvert. And so talking with strangers scares me. I remember one time I was wearing the shirt for my friend. So he's a Christian rapper in Atlanta. And he came out with an album, and it's called Hear Me Out. Okay? And so I don't really understand rap. If I listen to rap, I don't know what's going on. I need the lyrics. But because I know him, I was trying to support him. So I bought his t-shirt, and I was wearing it that day. And I was just standing in line, and somebody just out of the blue said, "All right, I'll bite. What do you got to say?" I was like, "What? What are you talking about?" And I looked down, I saw my shirt, I was like, "Oh, crap, I got to say." And then I came up with the lamest thing, right? I was like, "Oh, it's my friend's thing, album, and he's talking about this, blah, 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 blah." And I just completely bailed on an opportunity that God gave me to share the gospel, right? And maybe you guys are in the same boat. You're like, "God, give me a sign. Open that door," and the door opens. You're like, "Oh, my gosh, I wasn't ready, and I'm falling right now," right? And so we find ourselves in that situation. Many Christians profess to love a love for the lost, but when it comes to articulating the gospel to the lost, they shrink back in fear and say nothing. Okay? Next. Many Christians lament their lack of personal involvement in evangelism, but when confronted by their passivity, it is not uncommon that they are offended. So, you know, go figure. And finally, the current condition of the church's evangelism effort is neglect. Okay? And the pastor at this church said this. He said when he first took over this position, he wanted to learn from other churches because he'd never done this before. So he started calling up all these churches in Atlanta. "Hey, what are you guys doing for evangelism? How are you guys doing it? I want to learn." And the answer he got was, "We're not doing anything. When you figure it out, can you please tell us?" And he's like, "What's going on?" Like, and so he really came to understand that the kingdom of God is really struggling here in terms of growing because no one is doing this. No one is being actively involved in evangelism. Okay? Okay, so again, just remember, the growth of a church doesn't mean anything if the kingdom of God is not growing. And that should be our goal. Evangelism should be about growing the kingdom of God, not growing the church, right? So in his book called Evangelism and the Sovereignty of God, Packer writes this. He says, "Evangelism is the inalienable responsibility of every Christian community and every Christian person. We are under orders to devote ourselves to spreading the good news and to use all our ingenuity and enterprise to bring it to the notice of the whole world." Okay? So what's he saying there? Somebody sum it up for me. What's he saying? Is it important? Evangelism important? What should we be doing about it? How much should we be investing in it? All of our ingenuity and enterprise, right? So don't just you know, go based on what the program says, but are you pouring your heart, mind, soul into this process of evangelism, of sharing the gospel with your friends and neighbors, making it accessible to them, making it clearly understood to them? Are you trying everything in your power? Okay? So that's important. God has given us the responsibility And we have to do it with all our ingenuity and enterprise. But something else to think of. All the while letting God's sovereignty inform and control the way we plan and execute our evangelistic efforts. Why is that important to remember? Why is that important? Good answer. God is the one who saves. Okay, yes. So what Packer is dealing here with is he's saying, look, you can't just be like, all right, leave it all up to God. Because God is saying, you guys do the work. I want you to do the work. But at the same time, you can't also be thinking, it's all me. I'm the one who saves. No, it's God who saves. And so the analogy that he's trying to draw is like, if you think of a train, right? There's two tracks. And the wheels have to be on both tracks. If it's only on one track, you're most likely about to have something really bad happen to that train. Okay? So you need to have your wheels firmly planted on both tracks. Do the best that we can. Put forth all of our ingenuity, all of our effort. And at the same time, remember, at the end of the day, ultimately, it comes down to God. Right? God is the one who will be responsible for salvation for his people. Right? Okay, so the problem with this ingenuity and enterprise part, right? A lot of times, we're not really doing that, are we? We'll just say, oh, you know, I'll pray for them. That's what I do. Pray for them. It's the easiest. Least confrontational, right? I'll share a gospel with them, Bible verse with them every once in a while. But we're not putting forth our best effort. We're not trying our hardest. And this, maybe you're finding that, yeah, this is true of my church. And it's true of my church, too. It's true of a lot of churches. And here's the problem. Here's the reason why people are holding back when it comes to evangelism. All right, next. It's all about fear, okay? What are some things you think people are fearful of when it comes to evangelism? Three big ones that I was thinking of. First one, fear of rejection, okay? So this is when you've developed a relationship with a person for X number of years or months or whatever. You know they're not a Christian, but you're afraid if you say something and they're Muslim or they're whatever, Buddhist, that it's going to break off that relationship. And you're like, oh, I don't want to jeopardize that relationship. So I'm not going to say anything. I'd rather not say anything and just maybe kind of live out my life in front of them, which is important. It's good. But at some point, do you actually share with them the gospel? And so there's that fear. Second is fear of incompetency, right? And this has to do with you have a chance and you screw it up. Your mouth just turns into mush and you start spewing out garbage. You don't know what you're saying because you're so nervous. And you're like, oh, that one chance that they had, I just totally ruined it for them. Okay? And so because of that, you're like, I'd rather find somebody who's competent to do this. Let me go find somebody else. Not me. Okay? Finally is the fear of inadequacy. This is the fear that you don't know enough to answer all their questions. Okay? You don't know enough. So you're like, well, rather than start and then have them show my ignorance, I'll just not say anything at all. And this is especially true when you guys, nowadays, you know, you guys may be dealing with friends who are talking about like, I believe I'm an atheist or I'm an evolutionist and you guys are dumb to believe blah, 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 blah. And you're like, well, okay, yeah, but I still believe. But you don't know enough. You feel like you can't speak to them because they'll just call you out and make fun of you. And so it's hard, right? So how do we overcome these fears? Okay. So hopefully starting tonight and then more tomorrow, I'll hopefully show you guys that there are certain things that when we think about evangelism, we're not seeing the whole picture. So in that sense, it makes it more scary than it is. And hopefully because from that, we can see, okay, then what can we do? And it's something that every single one of you guys can do. I promise. It's every single one of you can do something when it comes to evangelism. We just have to figure out what. Okay? This verse right here, 1 John 4:18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Okay? And so it's really easy to allow our fears to rule us. Right? It's really, really easy. You have to understand that evangelism is a lifestyle. It's not necessarily so much a gift. Very few people actually have the gift of evangelism, but we can all do the work of evangelists. We can all participate in it. To one degree or another, God has gifted us in various ways. For me, I don't have the gift of evangelism. I mean, I'm scared to talk to people, especially strangers. I don't like confrontation. I'd make a terrible evangelist, right? Street preacher, whatever you think of. Okay? But what I'm seeing is that when you learn to love God more and more, and you feel this desire, you just hear His voice, you got to speak to people. You got to share with people. You just feel it. And the more you learn to love God, the less you have room for fear. The more you do this, these things that we call evangelism, right? The less scary it becomes. Because you're like, ooh, first of all, I can do this. Second of all, they really need it. Third of all, I'm seeing how God's working, right? And now my love for them, as it grows over time, is removing these obstacles of fear, right? And so for me, it's a process, right? Every time I get into some sort of ministry, first few times, I'm really, really scared. But over time, I see God working in my heart. And these are things that I need to surrender to God, right? And as God works in my heart, He starts to replace those fears with love. And so hopefully, as we talk about these things and you guys start doing it, slowly that fear will also be replaced. Okay? I'm just going to try to wrap up and get into the workshop portion. But evangelism is not really people's favorite topics to talk about. It really isn't. He's like, oh, we're talking about evangelism? See ya, I'm out of here. Right? I don't want to be here. And I think a part of that is because of this fear that we're talking about. But I think another part is because it's not fully understood. Now, because when we think about evangelism, what do you guys think of? When I say evangelist, who do you think of? Missionary. Who else? Billy Graham. Who else? You?
No, God.
God? Okay. Who else? Traveling preachers, okay?
What?
Traveling preachers. How many of you guys would say, I can be an evangelist?
Awesome.
Yeah, okay? The problem with our view is that we think, we typify them. We're like, they look like this. They act like this. They speak like this. My friend, if you guys, I go on a mission trip every year. I've been going for 6 years to New Mexico, and we partner with a church from California. And the guy over there, he is a traveling street preacher. That he will say, this is my job. He goes all over the U.S., campus to campus, sharing the gospel. He goes all over the world, sharing the gospel. When you meet him, he is the most loving person. You know he loves you. You know he has a heart for God. And when he talks to you, it'll be very rare if he doesn't start crying. Because he's so passionate for your soul and for the souls of those who do not know God. And yet, when you get him in front of a group that doesn't know God, or even young Christians, he will let you have it. He doesn't hold back at all. And you're just like, oh my gosh, where'd the other guy go? Like, what just happened? And I can't do what he does. I don't have the boldness. I don't have the courage. I care what people think. I don't want to burn bridges behind me. This guy does not care. He will let you know, by the time you leave him, you will know the gospel. Whether you believe it or not, you will know the gospel. And I'm like, I can't be like that. But a lot of times when we think of evangelists, we think of this guy. Okay, and that is a problem, right? Because, say, for example, we do a training. We bring in a specialist to train us in evangelism. Guess what kind of person they're going to bring in? That guy, right? and you're just like, you feel guilty. You're like, okay, I believe what he's trying to say, but I can't do it. You try, you're going to start failing. You're like, see, that just proves I can't do evangelism, and you'll never do it again. And that's what happens in a lot of churches. So what we're going to do in terms of just our workshop is to find out what your evangelism style actually is. Because there's actually more than one way to do evangelism. There's many, many ways. In this one, there's six different ways. Okay, and based on what your strengths are, you should be able to figure out how to do evangelism in a way that suits your style, the way God made you. Right? If God made you to be a people person, to build relationships, why do you think you have to be the person that's always out there confronting people and like burning bridges behind you? Right? God has another purpose for you, perhaps. So this, hopefully this exercise will help us find out what our gifts are or our preferences are, and then we can start talking about as a church now. Because we have different styles, how can we help each other? You know, I'm weak over here. How can you help balance me out? I know you're strong in this area. Maybe you can come. Okay? So, Joseph, you can grab some pens and pass it out to everybody. I just got this handout for all y'all. It shouldn't take too long. 42 questions. And I just want you guys to answer first thing that comes to mind. So, you know, don't, like, spend too much time. Just take both. There should be two pages each. And so this, if you guys have, how many of you guys have ever done a spiritual gifts test before? Okay, so it's similar in that you read the questions, and then you answer. On the back, there's a corresponding number. Okay, let me see. Make sure. Okay, so you see in the, so you're going to have two pages like this. One is questions. This is where you answer, okay? So everywhere, you know, if it says question one, you put the answer. If it's almost always true, put a three. Usually true, two. Occasionally true, one. Never true, zero. And again, just use your best judgment. The more honest you can answer it, the better. Don't answer it based on what you think other people want to hear or what you want other people to know about you, all right? But honestly, in your gut, do you like to do this or are you terrified by it? And just go ahead and put the answers, the number, in the corresponding numbers there, and it should give you a score at the end, okay? Does everybody have a pen? Okay. And everybody got a handout? You can, Luke, you can take the, you can rip it apart so that it's easier for you to see. Yeah. Oh, extras? Okay. Thank you. Go ahead and do that, and then we'll talk real quickly about what you guys got. 0 to 3, yeah. If anybody doesn't understand because I didn't explain very well, please ask me. I will give you personal tutorial. Hello. Once you are done, you can add up your columns. It should give you a total A, B, C, D, E, and F. And then just go ahead and put down your highest, second highest, and third highest. Just put in the letter that corresponds. Are we almost done? Is everybody at least halfway done? Okay. Three quarters of the way left? Done? Interpersonal, intellectual. Okay. Which one was the highest? What's your third highest? Okay. Hold on to it. This is for you. When you're done, who's done? Let me hand this out to you as well. You can read up on what this means for you. Is this Anita's? Is Anita done? Who's done? Here you go. Who else is done? Anybody else? You can start reading what it means or potentially mean. Anybody else who's done? So you can, just answer the best you can. That's fine. Yeah. You can start reading this. How you doing, David? Oh, you're doing it like that. Wait, did you not? Oh, yeah. You just put in the corresponding information. Yeah, so one, put your best guess here. If it's 3, 2, 1, 0, just put it here. 2, 3, 4. So these numbers correspond with these questions. And then when you're done, just add up the columns. That make sense? Yeah. Let me just start passing these out, I guess. Can you help me pass it? Pass out, make sure everybody gets one. Who else needs one? Just pass it out. Here. Hold on to it if you're not done. It's fine. Oh, I think there's maybe two down there. Or three. Go. One, two. There should be plenty of this. We made enough copies. Here you go. Oh, you got one? You got one? Okay. Okay, and I know the pictures aren't very good. Forget the pictures. Just read the descriptions. Yes. Okay, thank you. Perfect. All right. We good? Let me, I know some of you guys may still be working. For the sake of time, I just want to go over this. All right, so how many of you guys got A, confrontational, as their strongest style? Wow, really? Nobody? No, that doesn't surprise me at all. So, okay, let me preface by saying some of you guys are young. Some of you guys are like, oh, I've only grown up in this type of environment. And like Amanda says, I don't have very many Christian friends or non-Christian friends. So it's okay. So as you guys grow older and have more experiences, you can come back to this and you may find that some of your questions may change, right? But for now, this gives you an idea of where you are currently in the stage that God has you, okay? So what you notice is, okay, confrontational, very... Anybody have it in any of their top three? Which one was it?
Second
and third were tied. What were your top three?
Interpersonal.
Mm-hmm. Okay, invitational, that's a very interesting mix you got there. Anybody else have confrontational as their top three? Okay, intellectual, who had that number one? Intellectual, one, okay. Anybody, this doesn't mean you're smarter than everybody else, okay? Anybody have intellectual in their top three? Okay, good. So y'all are kind of a group, you can kind of... get together and kind of talk about what it means to be use intellectualism, I guess, in evangelism. How about testimonial? Testimonial. Not many people. Because you two people? Or you? It was in your top three? Number three. What about you, Nick? Number three. Okay. So you kind of. I think it probably maybe comes from the fact that you have to teach. So you're in front. It's like, I need a story to tell to connect the lessons. I'm going to use a testimony, right? That's what I do. Okay. Interpersonal. How many people were number one for interpersonal? Okay. It's usually pretty strong. Invitational. Okay, that's good. And serving. A lot of hands as well for that, and usually in an Asian church, that's also true. Okay. So. Here's what we see, okay? Just from doing this little test. When we think of an evangelist, a street preacher, we think confrontational, and yet zero of you had that as number one. And that's actually not very surprising. Statistics show that only like 3% of a church actually is confrontational, which is also like, in terms of the evangelic, like if you did your spiritual gifts test, only about 3 to 5% are evangelists. So if you guys do a spiritual gifts test, it usually connects pretty well with the style, which is why I encourage you guys to do it, because that'll also help you guys to see maybe this is where God wants me. Okay, now, I gave you guys the other handout. And the reason why I said Anita's case was a little weird is because she's confrontational number one and interpersonal number two. These two people usually don't get along. Why? Because, look at these two people. I know these two people. I know Alan. I know him personally. And I've gone, I've been in a place where we serve together. I'm interpersonal, hardcore interpersonal. He's hardcore controversial. And it was uncomfortable. Okay? Look at this guy's favorite verse. He says his favorite story is when Elijah confronted the prophets of Baal and Mount Carmel and destroyed their false gods and brought honor to the one true God. That's my kind of man. No nonsense, straight shooter. My favorite verse in the Bible is believe and repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Today is the day of salvation. So his favorite verse is when God destroyed the priests of Baal. I'm just like, holy cow, that's confrontational, right? Me, I'm interpersonal. If you read that, what am I doing? I'm building relationships. It's the long, like the end game is like really long in the future. I'm building towards this, right? So this guy, confrontational people, great at sharing the gospel, not so great at relationship building. Interpersonals, we're great at relationship building, but we got to know our weaknesses too. We're very bad at sharing the gospel because we don't want to do anything to jeopardize that relationship. Now, you're an interesting hybrid because you're both somehow. Somehow you're at peace with yourself. Maybe it's your third gift. What was it again? Invitational. You're inviting each side to come and like have a parlay or something. I don't know. But so you see. Sorry?
It's changed significantly in the last probably 5 years.
Okay. Where would you say it was before? More interpersonal, less confrontational. Okay, fair enough. Okay, so let's go through these real briefly and see where you guys... So confrontational people, you're really good at getting in people's faces and be like, hey, dude, before you leave today, I need to tell you about God. and you won't let them walk out that door. Now, we don't have anybody here, so if anybody needs the gospel told to, send them over to Anita, because she's your resident confrontational person, okay? Intellectuals, y'all love to talk about, like, apologetics. Y'all love to reason with people, okay? And that's great. I'm terrible at that. So I love it because if I'm in a position where I'm talking with somebody and somebody busts out all these, like, well, what about this and that and the other? I'm like, So I'll call my friend over. I'll be like, this guy, he loves apologizing. Hey, come over here. Help me out. Okay? And he will bail me out because he loves studying this stuff. Right? Testimonial. These are people who share the gospel through telling stories of what God has done in their lives. They just nonstop. And I met a lady who, for the first time in my life, I said, there is no doubt you are into testimonial. I don't even need you to take a test. Because I talked to her for 10 minutes, and 9 of the 10 minutes was her telling her stories about what God did that day or that week or that month. Nonstop. And that's what these people love to do. Interpersonals, we're really good at building relationships. Invitational, you guys are really good at filling in the pews. If there's an event at church, you invite all your friends to come. And that's great because we need them too. Because confrontational person ain't going to get it done. Maybe the interpersonal person, if they get that far into the talk, right? Serving, this is also very important. The way you live your life in front of others, just the small acts of kindness that you can do does amazing things for people. Okay? So here's some, like, this, I'll just stop there for tonight. But this is what we usually try to do. Like, I use a lot of this stuff in our training for our short-term mission trips because, like I said, it's not just about evangelism. It's about how we can use this on missions, too. So our goal when we meet together in training is to say, all right, what's your gift? What's your weakness? And then when we know each other's weaknesses, we're more forgiving of them when they mess up. We're like, oh, okay. They already told me they're weak in that area. I can step in and help them. And when you know somebody's strength, you can be like, this is the person that I need to come help me when this situation arises. See, when we've been trying to do evangelism on your own, you have that one gift. I'm interpersonal. I build relationships. I'm terrible at telling people about the gospel in terms of confronting them. Right? I'm just so bad at it. It doesn't mean that I shouldn't get better. Right? Don't stay where you guys are at. Continue to grow. Right? Continue to grow. But also realize that God maybe have wired you a little different. And that's okay. And because of that, you guys can all do evangelism. Okay? Now, the next thing that you guys need to do as a church, as a youth group, as an English congregation, you can start thinking about, well, how can we help each other? When I go, like, so when we went on, we were at this place called Woodgate. It's a apartment complex. And we were just finishing up our VBS mission trip there. And Alan shows up. He's confrontational. I'm interpersonal. So he's like, so what have you guys been doing? I was like, well, this year we've been really focusing on not just the kids, but families, right? We want the families to feel included. So we've been doing a lot of things to include the families. The amazing thing is they started inviting us into their homes. And we're like eating together with them or just having really great times to share with them. He's like, do you know, where's one of those families? Let's go talk to them right now. And I was like, it's dinner time, man. He's like, no, let's go right now. And so he dragged me to a stranger for him, made me knock on the door. The guy comes out, I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm really sorry about this, that, you know, we're barging in on you during dinner time. And he just starts going at it. He's like, blah, 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 sharing the gospel. And I'm just kind of like, oh, I hope this doesn't ruin everything, you know. So there can be tension, right? But when you understand that's their style, and they understand, okay, this is not your style, maybe you guys can start talking things out, right? And Anita, as the resident confrontational expert, maybe it's not a God-given gift, but it's God's grown it over the years. You can help this congregation to grow in that area as well. Because I'm telling you, there are some times when we do need to say certain things, we just don't say it. That's when you need that confrontational person, right? Any questions? Okay, we're so over time. I just want to say tonight, right here, this is just a. We're going to talk more tomorrow night on how to build on stuff on this stuff. But I hope you guys can go at leave tonight and just have this like a thought that, you know what, maybe I can do evangelism. Maybe it's not impossible for me. It doesn't look the way I thought it would, but I can do it. I can share, bring the gospel to other people in different ways, in my own way, in the way God gave me. You know, our church right now, I'll just close with this. Our church right now is thinking about how, because I've shared this with them too, but how can we integrate all the different gifts, right? All the different gifts. So if you can come up with a ministry that uses those who are confrontational, use them to share, like to preach, right? You have the people who are inviting people to come and fill the pews. You have people who are serving. You have people who are really good small group leaders. You have people who are loving to share their testimonies. And then you got people who are there just to answer some questions. Right? We're starting to think about what would that look like in our church. And so those are some things we're throwing around. And this stuff, all this stuff I get, I mean, I've taken some courses on evangelism, and it really just changed the way I thought about evangelism. And that's why I started to use it in just in our mission trips and then just sharing with our church, because I was like, this is really good. And unfortunately, we're not doing it. We need to be. People are scared to death of evangelism, but they don't have to be, right? So now we're starting to think about these things, and the prayer and the hope is that we can have a ministry in place where we can be effective in evangelizing, using all these different styles, using all the different things that some of the different things we'll be talking about to evangelize to the lost, not the somebody coming from another church, right? So let me just pray for us, and then tomorrow night we'll get into some of the more practical stuff, okay? Let's bow your heads and pray with me. Father God, we thank you so much for your love for us. We thank you, and we're so amazed that you think enough about us and you love us enough to make us a part of your family. And not only that, Lord, you called us, you've entrusted us to do the work of the ministry, Lord. Help us, Lord, to be obedient to that. We know that there's fear. We know that there's obstacles. But help us to overcome. Be bold. Use all of our ingenuity. Use all of our effort towards this goal. Yet at the same time, Lord, help us to keep our eyes firmly fixed upon you. Because you are the one who ultimately is in control. You're a sovereign God. So we trust you to finish the work that you have begun. I pray, Lord, that throughout this weekend, as we continue to talk about this subject of evangelism, Lord, that you will just begin to remove the layers of fear that may surround this topic for this church, Lord, for this congregation, and help them to begin to see the possibilities and how they can work together. And, Lord, we just are so thankful that you have given us this opportunity. Thank you for this night. Thank you for those who attended tonight. And we pray, Lord, that you will give us a good night's rest and bring us back just rested and ready for tomorrow. We thank you and praise you. We pray all these things in your name. Amen.